Bristol, thank you so much for coming along. Give yourselves a clap as too, and the people next to you. So we're going to kick off straight away with Tony Goslin, and then we're going to roll on with the rest of the speakers like I mentioned previously. Okay, thank you guys. Keep your hearts, eyes, ears and minds open. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much, Earl, who in another lifetime I was interviewing on the local radio, Bristol Community Radio here. Nice to see you in this context. But look, anyone that's seen Peter Hitchens in today's Mail on Sunday will become immediately familiar with his new term, coronophobia, which I think is a great way of putting what's now developed. Now, that doesn't mean to say there's no coronavirus at all. It means that there's been a kind of strange overreaction to what was a genuine virus back in, if you look at the figures, the death figures, back in March and April. My own history really is getting involved in journalism at the BBC in London in the 1980s and 90s. For about 4 years, and finding that at that time the corporation was really being sort of taken over. If any of you are old enough to remember the 1970s and 80s BBC, it's very different nowadays, certainly network BBC in London. And we're in the situation now in Bristol where we've got quite good local journalism from people at Points West, etc., breaking news stories about corruption at the city council here. And you guess what? And the BBC start to cut. They're not cutting the central news output and the documentary as much as here in Bristol. There's something like 12 or so jobs about to go. No senior managers being sacked. And the local documentary series, Inside Out West, is going to go. And it's going to be edited from Birmingham. So the cuts are the BBC, which the National Union of Journalists is opposing as much as it can, are all on the people who are actually doing their job at the BBC and not on those who are actually lying to us as they have been and stopping news coming out up in London. Now, yesterday the estimates for Trafalgar Square around about 30,000 people, possibly even more in Trafalgar Square. So we here in the UK are alongside the Germans in absolutely opposing these, I think, frantic measures against a pandemic that is effectively gone, finished, in Europe, which is a great thing to be proud of. But guess what? On the bulletins yesterday, Radio 4, what's it doing? It's talking about the German protest, 18,000. Well, the Germans estimate about three times that amount. And they didn't even mention that Trafalgar Square was packed full of people opposing the coronavirus lockdown measures. So I think that the main problem we're dealing with here is not necessarily even the appalling government. It's actually the lies being spread by the mainstream press and the massive omissions in the coverage that they're doing. Because look, what is the press? Why is the media important? Well, it's the nervous system of humanity. It's like the nervous system's been poisoned with sarin gas, and the nervous system is no longer working. We need to make sure it does work so we can make informed decisions, and our politicians and opinion formers can make informed decisions on what's going on in the world. So I also lost my FM program here in Bristol, which I've been doing weekly for the last 12 years in March, which was, I think, an appalling decision by our managing editor, Pat Hart. We were quite ready to do it online, but I think that there is an attack on the media taking place. I certainly feel bullied. I've been criticising our mayor in Bristol, Marvin Rees, on the radio week after week for some appalling decisions that have been made over things like the £50 million wasted on Bristol Energy, which could have built scores of schools, pay for teachers, etc., across our city, which hasn't been because it's still been wasted. And so, for doing investigative journalism, for the people of Bristol and the rest of the world, because we cover all the world on our programme, I've been hoofed off the airwaves. So if you don't do anything else, it'd be really nice if you could write a nice polite message to the Bristol Community Radio managing editors and the board, asking them to reinstate the programme. Because that's what we've been doing, and we've been replaced by a bunch of sort of 20-year-olds who are just reading stuff out from the newspapers, and they're doing no proper analysis at all. So anyway, what about the virus?
What virus?
Well, you can quite easily say what virus, but there definitely is something out there. It's been revealed this week by the epidemiologists in Singapore that there's something around called D614G. Now, does anyone know what D614G is? It's a strain of the COVID-19 virus, which is very similar, but it doesn't actually have hardly any bad health effects. Now, this strain apparently has been going around in Europe now for several months, and that's what they're testing for. So when we hear about cases rather than deaths due to the virus, that's almost certainly, according to these Singapore doctors, is that's what they're finding. They're finding a denuded strain out there, and then they're locking down cities because of this diluted strain. Well, I mean, how crazy is that? That's the world we're going into. I think what's going on with the coronaphobia, I did love the Hitchens piece today. What he's talking about, the mass psychosis. That's what he's talking about, a mass psychosis. And this, of course, if you know anything about history, Wilhelm Reich wrote a book called The Mass Psychology of Fascism. Then what the fascists did in the 1930s is they built up a whole narrative based on lies. And that's what the danger of where we're heading now with this is, that it's a way of basically bamboozling the whole public to take what they want you to take. And I mean, I was a campaigner on the September the 11th attacks back in the early noughties. And what we saw there was a complete and utter nonsense narrative being put out about these planes bringing the buildings down. No, the buildings in New York were almost certainly brought down by explosives. So who put those explosives in those buildings? Was it Osama bin Laden? So this is the sort of thing we have to sort of think ourselves through this stuff and be intelligent and critical. And one of the problems is that critical thinking is kind of going, isn't it? And why is the critical thinking going? It's because of things like privatization of education. The fact that teachers are worried about losing their jobs if they step out of line, and these sorts of things. So privatizing education is something that's been going on for far too long. If anyone looks online, you'll find a video, fascinating video, by a guy called Norman Dodd. In the States, he showed that these tax-free foundations, the same Rockefeller foundations, Carnegie foundations, these sort of people in the US, had decided they were going to control the universities by funding a stable of professors that they controlled and they funded. And this program has now been rolled out right across the Western world. So our universities are far less free to teach what they want to teach than they used to be. And Norman Dodd did a fantastic job in revealing the extent to which people like the Rockefeller Foundation and others have massively influenced the way our universities operate. So, the big question, which I come across all over the world talking about this to different people, is the virus man-made? What do you think? You're right. I think I can say with some pretty strong degree of certainty it is man-made. And you know why? It's because the New Delhi Institute of Virology, at the beginning of February, released a report, which was then later pulled, saying that the genome that the Chinese had released showed inserts of SARS and AIDS. Now, this would also explain why the modern version of this D614G, whatever it is a denuded version of this virus. So I think an incredible question has got to be, is it a Chinese virus, or is it a virus that was built by the Pentagon, who were funding the research in the Wuhan lab? So is it the Chinese man-made virus, or is it the Pentagon man-made virus? Who knows? Maybe it's even from Porton Down, here in Salisbury, just down the road. Just outside Salisbury, where I used to work. So what they're doing with the coronaphobia and the mass psychosis they're trying, I think, is gaslighting the whole population. That's what they're trying to do. And this is where I think this links back to the 9/11, where the September the 11th attacks, the idea was to bamboozle people for a short period of time to bring in this whole war on terror. And that's what we saw, isn't it? The war on terror happened. After a few years, people realised, well, actually, this whole thing is a con. Although some people, of course, realised straight away. They just weren't given a voice in the mass media. Some experts like Martin Summers, who I work with on the radio here, he was right onto it, talking to the American ambassador in London about this and doorstepping the guy the day after 9/11, saying, what the hell do you think you're doing? Anyway, so this is out there. It's just the mass media tries its best to stop it getting out at all. Our enemy, I think, in this, the main funding behind it is coming from Big Pharma, isn't it? Big Pharma has really become the enemy here, because they've decided that they can take over regulation of medicine and health policy. And they've done that very cleverly by going right to the top at the World Health Organization. And that's, I think, how our government's been bamboozled into taking these measures, is because they believe this advice from the WHO. So, who is the WHO? Well, it's now mainly funded by who? Bill Gates Foundation. So, it's not a government body, is it? It's the same sort of thing as we've got with he's a monopolist, okay? So, the Rockefellers, they monopolised the oil supply in the United States in the early part of the last century. The new great monopoly is the IT monopoly for the National Security Agency and the intelligence agencies in the US. Everyone has got Windows on their computers. Bill Gates has given the NSA a little back door into your hard drive, you know. So that's the new monopoly that they created. And with all that money, they're now funding the WHO. Isn't that a fantastic thing to do? Because you're now... What we're seeing, okay, so to sum up really, what we're seeing is a total takeover of international policy by massive corporations. Not elected governments. Big corporations are now calling the tune, and of course the big pharmaceutical companies make a lot of money by keeping us ill. Do we really want that? No! We don't want people being pumped up with psychiatric drugs, getting addicted to them, making it almost impossible to come off those drugs. No! This policy has been handed to the very industries that profit from it. So what about the timing of this virus coming out now? If it is man-made, well, what about as a punishment for Brexit? What we've done with Brexit is, and I'm not obviously, not everyone agrees with Brexit, that's fine, but what we've done is we've completely torpedoed the long-term plan that's been going on since World War II, and some would say before, for a United States of Europe. And I've met these Bilderberger guys face to face, and girls, one of whom was a CRISPR genetic engineering scientist at Dresden in 2016. Anything to do with Brexit, these people hate it. I mean, this is the guy who was Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's fundraiser campaign manager from Goldman Sachs. They hate it. It's their plan. They want a United States of Europe in corporate hands. Brexit is the biggest nightmare for them because it sends a signal right across Europe that you can be independent countries. And they hate that. So I think it's quite feasible that the virus was deliberately rolled out when it was, just as a punishment. And I'll give you a little bit of evidence for that, because Karl von Habsburg, they're still around, the Ottoman Empire lot, right? Extremely wealthy aristocrats, and he's in charge of something called the Pan-European Union. Well, just as around about November, December time, as the decisions were being made at the general election here, he said something which I thought was very revealing about his attitude. And that was, well, I enjoy watching Brexit on the TV because it's like watching a reality TV show. It's like, I like watching them try to leave because I know they can't because we're in control. And so this is one of the reasons I think these arrogant aristocrats and the people behind the European Union system and the United States of Europe hate the idea, and they want to teach the Brits and everyone else a bit of a lesson as to who's really in charge. Okay. So, private corporations taking over from elected governments. That's in the background, of course. Okay, so I think I should wind up by just pointing you, I think, in a direction of some positive media, right? Jason Burmes in the United States, I think, has done a fantastic job. He was one of the producers of Loose Change, which, if anyone remembers, was one of the best documentaries made about the September the 11th attacks. He was in his teens when he made it, the filmmaker, but Jason helped produce it. And this, I think, did what these mass media corporations completely failed to do, which was to do a deep analysis. What is really wrong with the story we're being told? And even going so far as to make pointers towards who had really been behind the September the 11th attacks and why. I mean, I've done a lot of research and work on 7/7 in London. It's pretty clear to me that also was a put-up job. I having worked for the BBC in London on terrorism in the 90s and the IRA campaign, I really took it personally that they were blaming those 7/7 attacks on the people I don't think that did it, that were effectively... I mean, there was all sorts of evidence. One of the most important was that there was no CCTV footage at all to put any of the four bombers on the trains. At all. There was nothing, not even of them getting onto the trains, let alone on there. It all got lost and disappeared. And even Jon Snow on Channel 4 News took the cameras one night down and said, well, how many CCTV cameras are there here? Look, there's about 25 CCTV cameras, but you couldn't find any footage of any of them. And also, it does look as if the carriages of the tube trains lifted up, if you saw that, you know, because the thing came off the tracks and up in the air. And the actual windows were imploded, not exploded. So there's a clue. This sort of stuff, I mean, I think it's brilliant what Jason and his friends in the US did on 9/11. It's rather than to just say, that's a load of rubbish, and swish it off, they actually got down, got the footage together, and edited together a fantastic documentary. By the way, there's another one on September the 11th attacks called Ludicrous Diversions, if you've never seen that. It really does go into why we need to ask all sorts of questions about 772. So, the other person I've got to plug is a guy called Richie Allen, Irish chap who was booted off the radio. Like, you know, there's quite a few of us radio journalists getting together now who've been booted off of FM radio. And he does an almost daily show. As many people would have heard his stuff from Manchester now, he's based. And he even very kindly has me on there from time to time. On a positive side, look at some good examples over the last 10, 20 years, particularly since the bailouts in 2008. That absolute gift to the City of London, who are the funders of the biggest crooks on the planet. So why would we want to bail them out for more bonuses? The example I'm going to give is Iceland, because in Iceland, what they did is actually the population of Iceland is about the same as Bristol.
So maybe we could really take from here a note from Reykjavik, a little note on the bottom on the margin, you know, yeah, okay, this is a good plan. Is what they did is they jailed the bankers, and they put them and gave them long prison sentences in Iceland. They weren't just going to let them get away with it. One of the ones who was implicated was actually a guy who still cannot travel to Iceland. He's a banker down in Wiltshire. He's not allowed to go there anymore, because if he does, he'd be arrested at the airport. But the only way that the Icelandic people got that result to jail their bankers and reform their banking system was how? They marched, and they marched week after week in Reykjavik to tell the government, you've got a criminal justice system, use it, or we'll force you to use it. And that's the only way I think we can really force our government to take these measures for COVID more sensibly and rationally, is by not going away until they do what we tell them to do. That's the only way to do it, through people power, unfortunately. These people are not going to do it on their own, because they're in the pocket of these other industries. We need to give them the reason to do the right thing. That's what we should be doing, I think. And thank you very much for listening to me. Big round of applause for Tony Cosby. So Tony's going to go to the back of the table. So if you want any more information, this is all his websites and radio shows. So if you want to come back and get a photo or whatever, get some more information, please do so right now. Oh, and by the way, guys, just so I'd like that you know, we've already won. Did you know that? It's just a matter of time. Seriously, guys, we've already won. It's just the people that haven't woke up yet, just slowing it down, that's all. We've already won. So a slight change to the lineup. This is Dr. Judith Brown. She's jumping the queue. How dare she? No, no. She'll explain why.
Big round of applause, guys.
Hi everyone. I went to the demo in London yesterday and here today, and one of the great things is that I'm amongst people like me. And I don't know about you, but often I've felt so isolated during this pandemic, because I've had a different view to other people, and I've not been able to talk to my neighbours, my friends, because they just ridicule my ideas. So it's just so great to be amongst people that are like-minded and share the same views as me. Sorry if you couldn't hear earlier. I'm a doctor, but a doctor of Arabic and Islamic studies. And I've been doing research this year completely out of my area of comfort. And the reason for that is because in March, I happened to look on the internet about coronavirus vaccines, and accidentally came across some articles that linked the influenza vaccine to COVID deaths. And I noted that nobody was doing any research into this correlation, which to me seemed really significant. So over the next few months, I started gathering information, and then, because no one else was doing research, I decided to do it myself. Not that I'm an expert, but it was better me doing it than no research being done at all. What I've found is that there is a definite correlation between COVID deaths and influenza vaccines. And if I can find that out, you can know for certain that the government knows as well. For example, there was a study in Spain where a pharmacist noticed that everyone who died in his hospital had had a particular type of influenza vaccine. And then he looked at nursing homes in his region, and he found that the rate of death amongst those who had influenza vaccines was 30%, but for those who hadn't had coronavirus vaccines, the rate of death was only 9%, which meant that the people who'd had vaccines were dying at a much faster rate. And then there was a study in America where they looked at the rate of vaccine amongst the population and the rate of COVID deaths. They actually compared country to country in Europe and state to state in America. And what they found was the more people that had had influenza vaccines, the more deaths there were from COVID-19. And what they said was, because this pattern happens both in America and in Europe, that it was unlikely to be an accident. Now, both of these studies that I'm telling you about happened, they were in June. One was published in an academic journal in June in America, and the other was published in Spanish newspapers in June. So what I'm saying to you now, why is the government pressing people to have influenza vaccines now? What I feel is that when people start taking the influenza vaccines coming September and October, instead of having the mild form of COVID-19 that they're having now, they're going to have a more severe form, which is going to mean that they're going to be more likely to be admitted to hospital and more likely to die. So the story that influenza vaccines are going to stop the NHS being busy and maybe prevent people from having COVID-19 deaths is a lie. It can't be anything else. I think that what I've noticed whilst I've been doing this research is that the world of academia is actually being silenced by the some powers that are stopping academic magazines from publishing correct information. For example, there was an article in a dentist's magazine that showed that dentists, some of whom who'd worn masks and some of whom hadn't worn masks, had exactly the same number of respiratory illnesses and exactly the same number of antibodies. That article has now been removed, saying that it's old and out of date. It was published in 2016, and to me, still is relevant to today. So why could I read that in April this year, when it's now gone from that magazine's archives 4 or 5 months later? And for example, on the hydrochloroquine issue, there have been studies that have clearly fraudulent, that have shown that hydrochloroquine doesn't work or is dangerous, that have been published. But I've been told by people who've been doing research into hydrochloroquine showing its positive effects that it's not been possible to get their articles published in journals. Why hydrochloroquine? I think that's obvious. It actually has a prophylactic effect, so it actually stops people from catching the virus. Obviously, this has a much bigger issue, because what I'm saying to you is the government wants you to wear masks now, although Jenny Harris, the deputy chief medical officer, said that masks were dangerous in March and may increase your susceptibility to disease. They're asking you to have influenza vaccines now that also increase your potential of having a severe form of COVID-19. They're not telling you to take vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all of the things that are known to be prophylactic. And they're not giving drugs, hydrochloroquine, to people at the front line, such as doctors and nurses, who are dealing with COVID-19 patients. And as we all know, many doctors and nurses lost their lives in the epidemic at the beginning of this year, earlier this year. What I'm asking you to do is to write to your parliamentary representatives to say that you've heard of this link between coronavirus deaths and influenza vaccines, and it's been recorded in research in America that's been published and in Spain that's been printed in newspapers, and to say, can they confirm that they're aware of this research? And in particular, I'd also like you to talk to your GPs about this, because the Hippocratic Oath that they're bound by says that they will not damage their patients. So does that mean for a £10 payment per person for a flu vaccine, they're prepared not to take account of the Hippocratic Oath and knowingly inject a substance into a patient that's likely to make them ill? So that's my message for today, and I really hope that you carry on spreading your feeling that this is a hoax. I know it's difficult. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for each of you when you're told that you're a fool and you're not following the science. But we are following the science. We are following a moral and ethical line. And I'd like you to go away today and pass that message on to everyone that you know, that the influenza vaccine is dangerous. Because whether you believe in the government lies or not, what I'm telling you is, if your mother, father, aunt, uncle, grandfather has the flu vaccination, they are more likely to die. Thank you.